window, roast goose, or maybe turkey sizzling in the oven.
And as a special radio treat for the Christmas season, we bring you the story of Old Ebenezer Scrooge, an adaptation from Charles Dickens' immortal classic, A Christmas Carol. To begin with, old Marley was dead. No doubt whatever about that. The register of his burial was signed by the clergyman, the undertaker, the undertaker's clerk, and the chief mourner. Scrooge signed it, and Scrooge's name was good on change for anything he chose to put his hand to. Old Marley was dead as a doornail. So Scrooge sat in his counting house on a Christmas Eve, casting up his accounts and keeping a good sharp eye on Bob Cratchit, his clerk, who sat in a tiny little inner office just beyond. Scrooge's fire was small, but Bob's was so very small that when he poked it, it gave a despairing flicker and died out altogether. So poor Bob, half frozen, with his white comforter round his neck, picked up the shovel and tiptoed into Scrooge's office toward the coal box.
You, Cratchit.
Yes, Mr. Scrooge.
What are you up to with that shovel?
Indeed, sir, it's so very cold, and my little fire is quite out, sir.
Out, is it? Warm yourself at your candle, sir. And if I see you in here again with that cold shovel, I tell you plainly, Cratchit, we shall part. You understand?
Yes, sir. Yes, Mr. Scrooge.
See who that is.
Merry Christmas, Cratchit. Oh. Merry Christmas, Uncle, and God save you.
Your nephew, Mr. Scrooge.
You think I'm deaf? Back to your work. And as for you and your Merry Christmas, all I have to say is humbug.
Bah. Christmas a humbug, Uncle? Oh, you don't mean that, I'm sure.
I do. Merry Christmas, indeed. What right have you to be merry? You're poor enough.
Oh, well then, Uncle, what right have you to be dismal? You're rich enough.
Humbug, I tell you.
Don't be cross, Uncle.
What else can I be when I live in a world of fools? Merry Christmas. Out upon Merry Christmas. What's Christmas time to you but a time for paying bills without money? A time for finding yourself a year older and not an hour richer. But if I could have my way, every last idiot that goes about with Merry Christmas on his lips should be boiled in his own pudding and buried with a stake of holly through his heart.
He should. Good heavens, Uncle.
You keep Christmas in your own way, nephew, and let me keep it in mine.
But you don't keep it.
Very well, then, let me leave it alone. Much good it has ever done you.
Well, if by good you mean profits, I agree, Uncle. But I've always thought of Christmas time as a good time. A kind, forgiving, charitable, pleasant time. The only time in the year when men and women seem to open their hearts freely and think of those below them. And therefore, Uncle, though it has never put a scrap of gold or silver in my pocket, I believe that it has done me good and will do me good. And I say, God bless it.
And so do I. Hear, hear.
Let me hear another sound from you, Cratchit, and you'll keep your Christmas by losing your situation.
Don't be angry with poor Bob Cratchit, Uncle. Come and dine with us tomorrow.
Good afternoon, nephew.
Roast goose, Uncle. Games and such a jolly crowd.
Good afternoon, sir.
Well, I don't want anything from you, Uncle. I don't want to ask you for a thing. Why can't we be friends?
Good afternoon.
I'm sorry, Uncle, but I came here because it's Christmas. And I'll keep my Christmas humor to the last. So, a Merry Christmas to you.
Good afternoon.
And a Happy New Year, too.
Oh, I beg your pardon, sir. I'm Paul and Marley. Scrooge and Marley? Good day to you.
Good day. Scrooge and Marley's, I believe. Mr. Marley has been dead these 7 years. He died 7 years ago this very night.
I have no doubt his liberality is well represented by his surviving partner.
Indeed.
At this festive season of the year, Mr. Scrooge, it is more than usually desirable that we make some provision for the poor and destitute who suffer greatly at the present time. Many are in want of common comfort, sir. Many more.
Are there no prisons, sir?
Prison.
And the workhouse? Are they not still in operation?
They are. I wish I could say they were not.
The treadmill and the poor law are in full vigor.
Both very busy, sir.
You relieve me, sir. I was afraid from what you said at first that something had occurred to stop them in their useful course.
A few of us, sir, are endeavoring to raise a fund to buy the poor some meat and drink and a little warmth. We choose this time because of all others it is a time when want is most keenly felt and abundance most rejoices. What may I put you down for, Mr. Scrooge?
Nothing.
Ah, you wish to be left anonymous.
I wish to be left alone. I don't make merry myself at Christmas, and I can't afford to make idle people merry. I help to support the establishments I have mentioned. They cost enough, and those who are badly off must go there.
Many can't, and many would rather die.
That's no affair of mine. It's enough for a man to understand his own business and not interfere with other people's. Mine occupies me constantly. Good afternoon, sir.
Really, sir?
Good afternoon, sir. Fetch it. The door. Idle, good for nothing. Wonder we're not all murdered in our beds. Meat and drink for the poor, indeed. They'll be wanting clothes next. Well, sir?
If you please, sir, it's closing time.
You'll want all day tomorrow, I suppose.
It's quite convenient.
It's not convenient. More than that, it is not fair. If I was to dock you half a crown for it, you'd think yourself ill-used.
Well, sir...
And yet you don't think me ill-used when I pay a day's wages for no work.
Christmas only comes once a year, sir.
A poor excuse for picking a man's pocket every 25th of December. Are the shutters up?
Yes, sir. This is past half hour.
And the street door locked?
I'll throw the catch when I leave.
Then be off, be off. Oh. If you must have the whole day tomorrow, you must. But mind you here all the earlier the next morning.
Yes, sir. Good night, sir. And Merry Christmas, Mr. Scrooge.
Bah.
What's that?
It's been midnight. Bless me, I've been asleep. Sound asleep.
What's that? Who's there?
It is I.
No. No, I tell you, I won't believe it. I won't see you. Get away. Get away. Well, what do you want with me?
Mark.
Who are you?
You know well enough. Ask me who I was.
Well, then who?
In life, I was your partner, Jacob Marley.
Marley's ghost. Why did you come here?
It is required of every man that the spirit within him should walk abroad far and wide, doing what good it may. And if the spirit goes not forth in life, it is condemned to do so after death. It is condemned to wander through the world witnessing what it cannot share, but might have shared on earth and turned to happiness.
You're all bound with a heavy chain. Tell me why.
I wear the chain I forged in life. It is a chain of cash boxes and padlocks and strong room bars and purses made of steel. And I forged it myself. link by link and yard by wretched yard. It is the chain of what I love most in life, and I put it on of my own free will. Is its pattern strange to you?
What is all this to me?
Your own chain is heavier than mine, Ebenezer Scrooge. It was full as heavy and as long as this 7 Christmas Eves ago. I see it now, winding its golden way about your very soul.
Jacob, Jacob, old friend, tell me why you come to me tonight. Tell me, Jacob.
I cannot tell you what I would. My own spirit never walked beyond our counting house. And what it never saw in life, it must see now. And weary journeys lie before me.
You were always a good man of business, Jacob.
Business? Mankind should have been my business. The common welfare was my business. Charity, mercy, benevolence, all should have been my business. The miserable dealings of my trade were not a drop in the ocean of all that might have been my business.
Jacob, you terrify me.
Hear me. My time is nearly gone. I have come to warn you, Ebenezer. You have still a chance and a hope of escaping the dreadful fate that is mine. You will be haunted on this Christmas Eve by 3 spirits. Expect the first when the clock strikes 1.
Is that the chance and the hope you mention?
It is your only hope. Go where they shall take you. Watch what they will show you. Learn all they have to teach. Without their visits, the path I tread, the heavy chain I bear are also yours.
Jacob! Jacob!
Farewell, Ebenezer. And remember, when the clock strikes 1...
Coming was foretold to me.
I am. I come to make clear to you the things that were, the joy and the freshness and the light and the love before they were put out by the dark cloud of the world. Come with me and have no
I know this town. I was a boy here, where I went to school. My spirit is the very schoolroom. And the boy sitting there at the desk. The boy is myself.
Brother, brother, are you ready?
I've been waiting ever so long, Fran. Are we coming home?
Home for good and all. Father says so. We're to be together the whole of Christmas holidays and have the merriest time. Do hurry.
Hurry? I've been waiting this 2 hours.
Bring down Master Scrooge's trunk. Now then, you two, there's no time to be lost. Out you go.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. Merry Christmas to all the people at home.
Goodbye.
A sweet, childlike spirit. But where is she now?
Dead spirit. But she left the child.
Your nephew.
What's this? What's this? Eh?
Another Christmas Eve. Do you know the place?
Know it? I should say I do. It's old Fizzywigs, where I was an apprentice years and years ago. Look, there I am carrying the shutters, and there's old Fizzywig himself.
Come now, boys, come now. Ebenezer, Dick, up with the shutters. Clear the floor. Bless my soul. There's the music already. Oh, they're coming. They're almost at the door. Where's the cold roast? That's it. They're on the sideboard. Bless my soul. Here they are.
finest master a lad ever had.
Finer than the surviving partner of Scrooge and Marley, do you think? Another Christmas Eve, years later, when the dark lines were creeping on your face. Did you think she would not see?
Spirit, take me away. Take me away from this place. I won't stay. I won't. Oh, Alice. Alice.
I've decided that our engagement must be broken off. I would gladly think otherwise if I could. But if you were making your choice over again today, can even I believe that you would choose a dowerless girl like myself? You who weigh everything by gain.
Alice.
No, Ebenezer. You've set up an idol of gold in my place. I release you with a full heart for the love of him you once were. You may, the memory of what is past makes me hope you will, have pain in it. A very, very brief time, and you will dismiss the recollection of it as an unprofitable dream from which it was well you awoke. May you be happy in the life you have chosen.
Spirit, show me no more. Take me home to... Why do you delight to torture me?
One shadow more.
No more, no, no more. Take me away.
Look, I see another Christmas. The fireside of a family. The mother and her children by the hearth. The father just come in loaded down with gifts. Look.
Oh, now, this is just for you.
Oh, there's the bed. Every man, Jack.
Go along.
You want
now.
Santa to find you out of bed when he comes down from the chimney? Quick, quick.
Go along now. Go along. Oh, Christmas Eve, John. I don't believe I was ever so happy in my life. Yes. And to think what I might have been.
Well, that reminds me, Alice. I saw an old friend of yours this afternoon.
Who was it?
Guess.
How can I? John. It wasn't Mr. Scrooge.
It was indeed Mr. Scrooge himself. I passed his office window and I couldn't help seeing in. I hear his partner lies on the point of death. And there he sat with his one candle all alone.
Poor fellow. And yet, it's what he lives for.
Well, he's all alone in the world, if that's what he wants. Quite alone.
Please, remove me from this place.
I told you that these were the shadows of the things that have been. Do not blame me that they are what they are. The blame belongs elsewhere.
The ghost of Christmas present. You've never seen the like of me before.
Never, Spirit.
You've never walked with the younger members of my family, having my brothers born these later years.
I am afraid I have not. Have you many brothers, Spirit?
More than 1,800. One for every year since the first Christmas that ever was.
Spirit, conduct me where you will. I have been back over the years of my past life, and I've learned a lesson which is working now. If you have anything more to tell, let me profit by it.
Where would you have me take you?
Let me go out into the world of men. Let me see happiness and goodness and love. God knows they and I have been strangers over long.
I will take you to one of the poorest parts of all London, to a little house in Camden Town, where a clerk and his family are keeping Christmas as best they may.
Camden Town? You don't mean that you...
Well, my time is short.
Ah!
He's coming down the street now.
There.
That's the man. You know him?
Know him? I should say I do. It's my clerk, Bob Cratchit. Bob.
Quiet. His wife and his children are waiting in the kitchen. They see him through the glass. Listen.
Whatever's got your father, my dears? And little Tiny Tim.
Here he comes now, Mother. And Tiny Tim's riding on his shoulder. Hide, Martha, hide. Hide in the quiet.
Behind the door.
All right, I will.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, Bob.
Merry Christmas.
Why, where's Martha?
Not coming.
Not coming? Martha not coming on Christmas Day?
Here I am. It was just a joke. Martha's here, right enough.
You're a pack of rascals. Here, take Tiny Tim out into the pantry and bring in the dinner. I can't wait a minute longer. Mind his crutch now.
All right, come on, Tim. Hold the crutch. I have it.
And how did little Tim behave in church?
As good as gold and better. Somehow he gets thoughtful sitting by himself so much, and he thinks the strangest things you ever heard.
Bob, you don't think he...
No, Mother, you stop worrying. It's Christmas, and I just won't have it. He told me coming home that he hoped the people saw him in church because he could never let his little crutch, and he hoped it might help them to remember on Christmas Day who it was that made the beggars walk and the blind men see.
Dear little lad. Oh, Bob, if ever you...
No, no, Mother, hush. Here they come with the goose. And what a goose it is, too.
Well, children.
Mother, I never saw such a goose in all my life.
Look, it's a gravy. Look at it. Smell it to me. I think it's the best gravy that there ever was.
Oh, I do, too.
Children. Bob, make them behave.
On Christmas, with a dinner like this, Mother, I can't behave myself. Sage and onions as I live. Sage and onion dressing. Where's my carving knife, somebody?
Right here.
Here it is.
And here come the potatoes. Oh, my land, where's the pudding?
Lord bless me, I clean forgot. You, Peter, you...
All right, Mother, here it comes, blazing up fine.
Goose and dressing and gravy and applesauce and plum pudding. Oh, I declare the Lord Mayor himself hasn't a finer Christmas dinner than we have here.
I know.
Wait a minute, where's the hot stuff? Pass the glasses, Peter.
Peter, the glasses.
Okay.
Fill them up. Now then, the first toast before we begin. Up with your glasses all round. The first toast, a Merry Christmas to us all.
Merry Christmas.
What does Tiny Tim say?
God bless everybody here. God bless us, everyone.
Good for you, Tiny Tim.
Tell me if Tiny Tim will live.
I see a vacant seat in the poor chimney corner and a crutch without an owner, carefully preserved. If these shadows remain unaltered by the future, the child will die. But come, my time is growing short, and there is another scene at hand, the house of your nephew.
Why, it is. It's my nephew's house. And what a crowd of people, music and games. Spirit, let me look.
He invited you to share it. All he had to offer. And you told him no. Listen.
Is it a live animal?
Yes.
A disagreeable animal?
Yes.
Does it live in a menagerie?
No.
Is it a bear?
Well, no.
Oh, Fred, I know. What? I know what it is. Oh, dear. Have you got it?
Well, tell us.
Come on, Fred.
It's your Uncle Scrooge.
Then you should have said yes when we asked if it was a bear. You didn't play fair, Fred.
Well, I'm sure he's given us our fun, and we'd be very ungrateful if we didn't drink his health. Here's mulled wine ready at hand. And I say, Uncle Scrooge.
Uncle Scrooge!
A Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to the old man wherever he is. He wouldn't take it from me, but he may have it nevertheless. Uncle Scrooge.
Yeah.
Spirit, what is wrong? Your face is gray and your light is growing dim.
My life upon this globe is very short. It ends tonight.
Tonight?
The time is drawing near. But I am a ghost of Christmas present, and I may not stay. One word before I leave you to your final visitor.
Speak.
Tell me, Spirit.
I have taken you out into the world, and I have let you see how men hold Christmas in their hearts, and how love and charity and goodness work wonders in the poorest house. But there's another side, and you must see that also. Come. Look, there in the darkness of that darkest alley.
I see a boy and a girl in filth and rags with madness in their eyes and despair in both their shriveled hands.
They're the children of the poor, the outcasts of man. This boy is ignorant. This girl is warmth. Beware them both. But most of all, beware this boy. For on his brow I see that written which is doomed. Unless the writing be erased. Deny it if you can. Leave them as you have left them too long. And bide the end.
Have they nowhere to go? No refuge anywhere?
Are there no prisons? Are there no workhouses?
Presence of the ghost of Christmas yet to come.
Yes, the ghost of Christmas to birth.
You are to show me the shadows of things that have not yet happened, but which may happen as time goes on. Take me where you will, Spirit. Spirit. This is my place of business. These men are the men I see from day to day. The men I deal with on change.
Listen.
I tell you, I know nothing about it. I only know he's dead.
When did he die?
Last night, I believe.
Well, it's likely to be a steep funeral. All my life, I don't know of a soul to go to it. Come along, you chaps. Time for lunch.
Great. What manner of man was that they spoke of? Had he no friends?
Friends? Only the women who watched him as he lay in death.
That's it. Good. You tied the curtains off the bed. He'll never need him now.
Broadcloth, is it? What would he be wanting with broadcloth and him stiff and cold? I'll take the broadcloth myself and put the calico where the broadcloth was.
You mean you'll take it off him?
And why not? Look. Look at the brooch in his shirt and the sleeve buttons in his cuff. There's plenty there for both.
Plenty? I should try. I looked in the cupboard, and there were two silver teaspoons, as bright, one for you and one for me. Look!
And that's the end of it, you see. He frightened everyone away from him when he was alive. To profit us when he was dead. Oh, it's rare that it is.
Spirit, I see. The case of that unhappy man might be my own. My life tends that way now.
That way and more. In Camden Town, I see an empty place. And darkness in hearts of where light draw. Come with me, Ebenezer Scrooge.
Spirit, no, not Tiny Tim.
The fire is low on the hearth, and the mother and her children are waiting once more for the father to come.
The color hurts my eyes. They're weak by candlelight, and I wouldn't show weak eyes to your father when he comes home for all the world. It must be near his time.
I think he's walked a little slower these past evenings, Mother.
I've known him to walk with Tiny Tim on his shoulder very fast indeed.
So have I, Mother. Often.
But he was very like a cat. And your father loved him so that it was no trouble. No trouble at all.
Here's Father now, Mother. I'll let him in.
Hello.
Oh, my dear. Good, it's good to be home. My slippers.
Oh, I'll go get them, Father.
Here they are.
Sit down, Bob. Do. There's a good man.
I will. I'm more gone than I thought. Ah, that's it, chicks. Come here to your old father. One on each knee.
Don't mind it, Papa. Please don't cry.
Bless the dear, I'm not crying. Just dust in my eyes, that's all. That's pretty work, my dear. It'll be done long before Sunday.
Sunday? Then you went to see about it today?
Yes. I wish you might have gone. It would do you good to see how green a place it is. But you'll see it often. I promised him we'd walk there on a Sunday. Oh, my child, my little boy.
Bob, dear, don't please him. For his sake, for all our sake.
There, there. I'm sorry I shouldn't have let myself go on so. I know I shouldn't. But it's so sharp. And them that go are so soon forgotten.
Not by us, Father. We'll not forget.
No, no, boy, that we won't, will we? We'll not forget Tiny Tim, shall we? Or this first parting that ever came among us.
No, Father.
Never.
No, and I know, my dears, that when we recollect how gentle and patient he was, and only a little child, too, we'll not easily quarrel among ourselves and forget poor Tiny Tim in doing it. We'll not, will we?
No, Father.
No,
Father.
No. Well, then, I'm happy. Very, very happy.
Something tells me that our time is slipping fast. One last question before you go. Who was that man you showed me in his chamber, dead and alone?
Let us be off. I see a lonely grave in some far corner of the churchyard, covered with weeds, where feet of living men can hardly go. There is a name upon the stone.
Spirit, before I look, answer me one question more. Are these things the shadows of things that will be? Or of things that may be only.
Men's courses foreshadow certain ends, to which, if persevering, they must lead. If the courses be departed from, the ends will change.
Spirit, I am not the man I was. I will be the man I might have been. It is not too late, it cannot be too late. Why do you bring me here if there is no hope? Tell me I may change these shadows by an altered life.
Look down and see what name is written on the stone.
No, Spirit, no, I will honor Christmas in my heart and keep it all the year. I will live in the past, the present, and the future.
The name that is written is your name.
No, I tell you, no. I rub it out. I wash it away. It's not mine. Not mine, do you hear? It will change from this night on.
Defense is uneven, rising over.
What's that? What's that? Bless me, I fell asleep. Why, morning, Christmas morning. I've slept the whole night through in my office. Come in.
Merry Christmas to you, sir.
Merry Christmas to you, too, my boy.
Here's your turkey, sir. The biggest one we've got.
I didn't order a turkey.
You didn't?
No. But stop a bit. I will, though. Are you from the poultry shop on the corner, the one with the prize turkey?
Yes, sir.
And not the little prize turkey, you know, the big one.
Oh, yes, sir. It's there. Right enough it is, sir. No one's taking it yet.
You go and get it.
You don't mean it, sir.
Oh, yes, I do. I'm in earnest. Come back with a man to carry it, and I'll give you a shilling. Come back with him in less than 5 minutes, and I'll give you half a crown.
Oh, yes, sir, yes.
My gracious, how that boy can run.
Good morning, Uncle.
Why, nephew, bless me, it's Fred.
I've come back once more, Uncle, to wish you a Merry Christmas and to ask you to come to dinner. My wife says she won't take no for an answer.
My dear boy, I shall be perfectly delighted. I've come with pleasure.
What? You will? Uncle, are you sure you're... No offense, you know, sir, but are you sure you're well?
Yes, indeed. Better than I've ever been in my life. And do you know what I've just done? I've ordered a turkey for Cratchit.
What?
He shan't guess who sent it. This will be the death of me. It's immense, Fred. Twice the size of Tiny Tim. Sending it to Bob. What a joke that will be.
But heavens, Uncle, you're not well. Really, you aren't. I've never seen you like this. It's a fever. Back into bed while I fetch a surgeon. Quick, Uncle.
That's a nonsense. But I tell you, who you can fetch, get me the gentleman who came in here yesterday asking me for funds. Tell him to come here now and he won't regret it. But stop. Wait. Here's the best joke of all.
Well, what is it?
Do you know what I'm going to do tomorrow? I'm going to get here to the office before Bob Cratchit if it's the last act of my life. I'll be sitting here at my desk, you know. Like this. And he comes in the door. You, Cratchit?
Yes,
You're late. What do you mean by coming in this time of the day?
Indeed, sir. It's only just past the hour. It's only once a year, sir. Yeah. It shan't be repeated upon my honor. I was making rather merry yesterday, sir.
Now, I tell you what, my friend. I'm not going to stand this sort of thing any longer. And therefore...
Mr. Scrooge, please, sir.
Therefore, I say, I am about to raise your salary.
Mr. Scrooge.
Merry Christmas, Bob. Merrier Christmas than I've given you in many a year. I raise your salary and take care of Tiny Tim. And more than that, we'll discuss your affairs this very afternoon over a smoking hot bowl of punch. Make up the fire and buy another scuttle of coal before you dot another I, Bob Cratchit.
Mr. Scrooge, I don't... I hardly know what to say.
You don't? Well, I do. And so does that fine little youngster of yours at home, Tiny Tim. He'll know what to say, Bob. God bless us all. God bless us, everyone.